Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Stoughton.
Well, every week, our next guest, who is best-selling author Gary John Bishop, receives hundreds of emails and social media messages from people hungry for his advice on their particular struggle. Now, Gary has spent years coaching high-paying clients on various life topics and has made his Straight Talk, No Excuses advice available to everyone through his popular books. His latest is an audiobook original called Ask Gary Anything. And it is like a personal coaching session in your earbuds. This short, punchy audio original features Gary taking time to really dig deep and answer 8 questions that he receives all the time from real people who follow him. He gives the tough love we need to get our lives on track, like that tough love. We want to hear about these 8 questions. What are these 8 questions that we all have? Gary John Bishop, welcome to The Mountain Life. It's great to have you.
Great. Thank you so much. What an introduction. I hope I can live up to it.
I have a feeling you will.
So there's like a kind of common struggle we have in life. And you know, a big one, for instance, as an example, is how do I get over something? You know, like a disappointment, or sometimes it's even somebody passing away, or just a big life-changing event. And, you know, they kind of, if you ask your friends, how do I get over something? Most people will just say, you know, time's a great healer or something, or go and do something positive in your life. But that's not quite, it doesn't quite work that way. You know, people think time's a great healer, but what the great healer is what you do in that time. And so I like to give people like real viable ways that they can deal with stuff like, you know, for instance, forgiveness, disappointment, tragedy. Like, how do I deal with them? How do I empower myself in the face of that stuff? And that's the stuff that fascinates me as a writer.
Well, Gary, I'm sure you're very talented with what you do, but I think the fact that you sound like Shrek is really why you attract so many people to your audiobooks. Is that part of it, you think? We love your accent.
Certainly helps. Certainly helps, but you know, after a while, you know, you can ask my wife about the effectiveness of my accent to get me what I want. It kind of wears off after a pretty short time.
Oh, that's great. Now, your recent book, Ask Gary Anything, there is an F-bomb dropped in between the Gary and the anything.
Yeah.
And there is there's profanity in each of your book titles. And I just have to ask you about that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really challenging thing. So I wrote my first book, which was Unbleep Yourself. And you can fill in the blank yourself. But Unbleep Yourself. I wrote that book 4 years ago. I actually started writing it 5 years ago. But at the time, there weren't many books around that would have a curse word in the title. And I was committed to write my book. You know, I was really committed. Like, I'm not really writing it to be successful. I'm writing it because fundamentally that's how I talk, right? And
except on radio.
So I know that some, some people get a little, you know, this is my polite way of speaking. I'm kind of out of respect for your audience, but I'm really committed that it's my voice, that it's not some, and it's not fake, by the way. I don't do it for sensationalism. Anybody who knows me would tell you that's pretty much how he talks. And people think the books are like laden with profanity. They're not. There's maybe, you know, between 6 and 12 curse words. Eloquently put, I might add a little gravitas to whatever point I'm trying to make.
I love it.
Well, being someone from New Jersey, I greatly appreciate the sprinkle of sass in your language. Is there an element where the title is like the book that says, you know, steal this book? Is it intentionally to grab one's attention and then diffuse them into the context of the book, or vice versa?
I would love to think I was smart enough to think of that, right? But I wasn't. I mean, it was quite literally and plainly, this is what I would say to somebody. right? I mean, all, in my view, right, all, every big transformation in somebody's life is a significant interruption, right? It's not, you know, you don't transform yourself with a cuddle, right? It's transforming yourself is very challenging and often kind of gut-wrenching. It's serious stuff. And so whenever I curse, it's usually serious stuff. I don't just flippantly do it, right? Like someone once told me there's a big difference between being in trouble and being in bleeping trouble. And I kind of agree with them. So, like I said, it's not a gimmick. It's certainly, I would never do such a thing. It's just that's kind of way too cheesy for me. A lot of people have written books with those kind of titles, and it's gimmicky, and you can tell. But if you read my books or you listen to my books, you'll see that it's the real deal. That's how I talk. It's not some shtick or something that I'm putting out there to kind of grab people's attention. Because, by the way, just by the same token, it grabs people's attention. A lot of people get turned off by it, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah. And help me to, you know, this, when you take away the one word, ask Gary anything, it really comes across as a self-help book. And that turns me off a little bit. You throw in that word, and I'm hearing what you're talking about with the authenticity of dealing with trauma or difficult circumstances in real life. Give us the audience now just an example of the differentiation between what you would be presenting in your book versus, you know, another more cuddly book.
Yeah. I'm telling you what you don't want to hear, right? So that's my followers tend to be the kind of people here who are either at the bottom of the pile, like they've just had enough of themselves, so they listen to my stuff. Or they tend to be people who have kind of suspected that the direction of their life has had way more to do with themselves than somebody else. And so what you'll get from me is this kind of really straight, but not to punish you or put you down or anything like that, but really this really straight conversation based in some pretty serious philosophy, I might add, that will really help you take your life back. And that's what I'm committed to. I'm committed that people win and that people know themselves as winners without me trying to tell you you're a unicorn or something, you know, and like just spread your wings and fly. I'll never tell you that nonsense. I'll tell you, look, you're in a hole. You put yourself there. Acknowledge and take responsibility for that you put yourself there. And here's how we're going to get out.
Gary, you talk about this concept of an urban philosophy. And I'd like to hear how you apply it, you know, sort of that tough love approach to, let's say, you know, we all know someone in our lives who is still complaining about their ex-spouse who they divorced from eight years ago, right? And you go, okay, it's, you know, sort of time to move on here.
Right.
What would you say to that person?
Well, I usually say, what are you getting out of, you know, what do you get to justify about yourself by continuing to talk about this? Like, what does this justify about you? That your life's miserable? Okay, you win. Now what? And I know, look, it's very challenging at times. We get stuck in these ruts. Nobody wants to be a serial resenter, right? Nobody's 5 years of age lining up in front of class and saying, yeah, well, when I'm 45, I'm going to resent my ex and I'm going to be bankrupt. Nobody's got that as a life plan, but we end up there. And so I have people confront the impact of what they're doing. Forget them, the ex and that, that, that. You know, that is what that is. What are you doing now? Now what? What are you doing with your life? Are you ready to take responsibility for your future? In my view, a lot of times, we're way more fascinated with our past than our future. And that's a tragedy. You know, how can you be more fascinated by what happened to you than you are about what could be available next?
Yeah, it seems like a futile thing to talk about, most certainly. We all are guilty as well of being in, say, jobs that we're not very fond of, and we keep... And we hear our friends do this too, where they keep talking about how bad their boss is and how bad their job is. Yeah. And to the extent that, you know, I've heard this come out of my mouth about certain things in my life where I just suddenly stop myself and say, you know, I'm really sick of this story I keep telling about myself. So what do you say to that person who needs to move on from a job that they hate?
Well, I think that's a really good bit of awareness that you've pointed to about yourself. I think that's really good to catch oneself in those little moments. Like, what am I doing right now? What, you know, And so there's, in my first book, I made this statement, and it's kind of what put me on the map in a lot of ways, this one statement. And I said, you have the life you're willing to put up with. And I believe that to be true. I think as human beings, we have a tremendous tolerance for stuff we don't like. But at some point in your life, you're going to have to acknowledge, I'm either going to keep going with this and keep complaining and all the negative impact that that's having on me, or I'm going to do what I need to do to make significant change. And again, I know significant change isn't easy, but to suggest it's not doable wouldn't be accurate, right? I mean, quite literally, a blind man climbed Mount Everest. So I think if he can do that, you can change your job.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I feel like I get to ask Gary anything right now. So I am going to ask, why do people keep staying in that humdrum? I mean, they keep complaining. They stay status quo rather than they seek someone like yourself in their life, or they buy your book. Why stay complacent?
People think we live with the illusion, I guess you could say, that we live in a comfort zone, and we don't. I mean, many of our lives are not comfortable. There's nothing comfortable about it. It might even be decidedly uncomfortable. But what it is, what all our lives are familiar. So we live lives of familiarity. And the truth of it is, without some introspection and then some interpersonal intervention, I'm much more likely to do the familiar than do the new. So people would rather be miserable than do what they need to do to be happy, because miserable's familiar, and familiar, love it or hate it, is safer than the unknown of what I'd have to step into next. The weird thing about all of that, by the way, is when you were a kid, you were way more into the unknown than you've become as an adult. And that's a shame. It's like people write off their potential at the age of 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70. You still got plenty left in the tank. There's still way more life out there if you lived. And anybody listening to this right now, you've got as much potential as anybody. Why not? Why not you? And so I love it when people take that notion of why not me and produce out-of-the-box results for themselves.
And we had a recent guest speaking about seniors especially who have fallen into the familiar. And do you find with age that we do? We're either afraid or hesitant, or we're really just comfortable, and we're presupposing, that this is really a good place when there could be even something better.
Yeah. Well, human beings can make everything, by the way, just about anything. Let's put it that way. Human beings can make just about anything okay. I mean, there's been numerous studies and examples of this, but, somebody serving, for instance, a life sentence in prison, many of them, not all of them, but many of them, if you ask them what's it like, they've kind of succumbed to it. It's kind of like, well, it's okay. They've, after years of whatever they've had to tolerate, they've come to the point where they're just living it. And I know that's a kind of extreme example, but I invite everybody to kind of use it to look at their own life. Like, what have you made okay that in fact is not okay? And at what point do you get a little, I don't want to say annoyed, but I think annoyed best describes it, like a little agitated that you've made this okay. And the important thing is to get is that you've made it okay. You've made it okay to be not happy. You've made it okay to be dissatisfied. You've made it okay to be disempowered. And you got to call yourself out in that stuff. And again, I don't care whether you're 20 or you're 80. You're still a human being. You're alive. You have potential. You have ideas. You have an ability to expand yourself, and it's always available to you.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Gary John Bishop. He has recorded a new book, an audio book, Ask Gary Anything. He is a New York Times bestselling author of books like Stop Doing That Stuff, Do the Work, The Unofficial, Unrepentant, Bottom Kicking, No Kidding, Change Your Life Sidekick, to that book that you previously discussed. Wow, it's really hard to come to say your titles in a creative way that doesn't involve
this. I feel like we should have a list of non-explicitives.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
one of the things, and you've been talking about it a little bit, but, when we decide to just make a change, we have to either, maybe you would say about motivation, there's no such thing about motivation. You either do something or you don't do it. And I think getting past that first step is what we often have to do. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. There's there's two types of change. So there's a kind of change that's forced upon you, right? So it's like an exterior thing, right? Like, for instance, a bankruptcy or you lost your job. That's a change where you have that you have to address. Then there's a more kind of internal change where you do reach a point where you just can't stomach what you're doing any longer. I've seen a lot of people, and I'm going to say a lot, I mean, many tens of thousands of people in my career, that they're waiting to feel different before striking out there and taking an action. So that is, you're literally waiting on confidence or some sort of vitality or encouraging state to kind of carry you through the threshold of change. And if you're waiting on that, and there might be somebody right now who is waiting on that, and here's what I want to tell you, you're going to have a long wait. It's not coming. Change requires you to interrupt yourself. It's not just interrupt what you're doing, it's interrupt who you are about what you're doing. And the one way that I know to do that is stop focusing on how you feel about it and start changing what you're doing about it. And I know that seems really simplistic, but that actually is the way to make significant change in your life, doing.
Yeah, so often it seems to us like we're waiting for a sign from the universe, you know, to say, this is your path, this is not your path.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what we'll attach. Like, I lost my wallet. Clearly, that's a sign. No, you lost your wallet.
You just clearly lost your wallet.
You just lost your wallet. No, this is a sign. No, there's no sign. The sign could have been you tied your shoelaces this morning, right? That's a little too slow. A little too superstitious-y for me, right? It's a little too woo-woo, right? So in one's life, your changes or any changes that happen in your life are a function of what you did do and what you didn't do. And that's it. It's not the illusion is that we think it's how we feel and don't feel. It's only how we feel and don't feel to the degree that we've made that a big thing. You know, I'm a human being. I have the same range of emotions as most of us, right? I get despondent, I get dispirited, I get upset, I get all the same stuff, frustrated, apathetic, all the same stuff. The only difference is I've spent a long time working on myself to be able to continue to paddle the boat, if you like, while I feel that way. Like, I keep going when I'm that way. And then what I notice is when I'm at my most inspired, I don't have to worry about taking actions because I'll just take them. So rather than trying to find ways to get myself inspired, I've actually been discovering new ways to continue to operate when I'm not inspired. To me, that's a big function of success for a human being.
So let's bring this back to ground for us. And let's put this in context with, hey, someone or myself might have put on the COVID-19 pounds, the 19 pounds of COVID, and there's no gyms open. I'm working a lot. There's a lot of, you know, kind of things going on in my life. I can't be around a lot of people, you know, yada, yada, yada. What would you and your book say, since I have to do something? Step one, step two. I don't know, it doesn't have to be steps, but yeah, what would you say?
Right. Well, the first thing I would invite you to notice is look at the kind of weight of story that you put yourself under.
Ah, nice use of
so
words.
You get to explain your actions, right, with COVID, no gym, no people, this is why I am the way I am. No, you are the way you are because you've been eating more than you typically do, right? So if you take away all the stuff, you'll say, oh yeah, typically I don't eat this and I move around, or typically I eat this and I move around and I'm not doing that right now and that's why I'm at where I'm at. So I would disappear, or rather take away my propensity to explain my situations and deal with my situation initially. And in terms of like getting myself back there, and this is a question that I ask myself in general terms, but about a lot of different subjects, and I'm frequently asking myself, is what I'm doing right now consistent with what I want or something else? And I ask myself that in moments. I ask myself that several times a day. You can ask that yourself, that about your finances, your body, your relationship, whatever. And you'll notice that a lot of the day you're taking actions that are inconsistent with what you say you want. That approach will allow you to intervene with yourself in moments throughout the day. Because you'll notice, too, your current habits, if you like, that you've been building, they're most prevalent at certain times of the day. You've kind of got yourself into what one might call a rut. So it really is a case of intervening with yourself. and saying, I'm not going to, this isn't consistent with who I am and what I'm committed to. Therefore, this is what I'm going to do instead. It's important to replace one negative action with one that's consistent with what you're out to get accomplished.
Mm, I really appreciate the first part of that, especially where there's some ownership versus victim mentality. And it's very easy for myself and for many others to say, well, these circumstances have put me in this place versus the ownership that I have to take. So that's a big step. And I can imagine, I can visualize you or Conor McGregor kicking me in the butt with the Scottish accent.
That's right. Although Conor McGregor might be a bit more violent than I am, but I'm certainly louder.
There you go. And you also have some context about relationships and healthy relationships and unhealthy relationships in your book. What is the difference between an unhealthy and healthy relationship? I love that I'm asking you all these questions, Gary.
Well, we get off on the wrong foot in relationships often, you know. And I know many people could tell themselves the truth about this. But, you know, an awful lot of us go into relationships trying to fix something about ourselves. Like, you know, I'll be with this person, and then when I'm with this person, I'll get to be a different kind of person because I don't like the person that I am when I'm single, or I don't like how I feel when I'm single. So I really, and I'm not saying this like from some pulpit or something. I'm really saying this from experience. I've been married for 24 years now. And in that time, my marriage has gone through like several different versions as I've kind of realized how relationships that I'm in generally go. And that's one of the first things you have to realize. You'll notice like every relationship you're in has a certain kind of flavor to it. You might notice that all the relationships in your life that have ever failed, you were in them. And in fact, it was with different people. So we changed the personnel, but the outcome was the same. So that's the sort of stuff that one would start to get interested in, rather than the kind of typical approach, which is, I'm not getting what I want, which if you get the nature of that statement, you can't make that statement without stepping outside of your relationship and observing it. That's an observational state for one to be in. It's a little tricky to explain how you're in it while you're outside of it and observing it. So I invite people to really take on for themselves, whatever it is you're looking for in a relationship, try on the idea that what that's really about is, this is what you need to express in relationships. Now, what about the jerk that I married, right? One might think that's kind of on you. You have to realize this is a person you've chosen to live your life with, either marry or be in a relationship with. If that's not working for you, as difficult as that might be, that's something you got to acknowledge. But I wouldn't quite go down that pathway until I dived into and taken a really kind of a very profound look, actually, at who you are in relationships. Like, who are you? What kind of human being are you? What's it like for human beings to be in relationship with you, rather you being an observation of what it's like for you to be in relationship with them?
Well, Gary, unfortunately, we're out of time, but your messages are, I think they're messages that Pete and I are going to take throughout our day, maybe our lives.
Yeah.
It's great stuff. Ask Gary Anything is the name of the audiobook. Just tell us quickly, Gary, where we can find it.
Well, you'll find it, you know, on Apple, iTunes. It's on audible.com. Everywhere you can get audiobooks, you'll get this. And who knows, maybe one of these days we'll turn it into a book, a hardcover book too. But at this point, we've no plans to do that. I'm confident that the people who listen to this book will find some really deep and powerful stuff in it for them that'll make a big difference in their lives.
Yeah. Gary John Bishop, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life. Great conversation.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Bye-bye.